And now on today's program, I hated this movie when I saw it, and it turns out I still hate it now. It's Ocean's 12. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. Thank you for settling in with us as we record this fine evening talking about Steven Soderbergh's Ocean's 12 from 2004.
Easily, by the way, one of his worst.
In the Midwest, they call him Steven Popberg.
Oh, geez, that's awful. That's truly
that's
awful.
Ladies and gentlemen, my uncle.
I would rather have a Chris Cabin cheese fart in my face than hear that joke ever again.
All right, well, that's it then.
We are, A, I liked it. B, we are doing this because obviously Ocean's 8 comes out on Friday.
Right.
You're probably doing your Ocean's rewatch. Stop it at 11 and then go right to 8.
I'm totally cool with 13. I'll go on the
rewatch. I like 13.
Now,
13 should have been the sequel to 11, honestly. Yeah.
I don't think I ever saw 13. And Chris Cabin corrected me when we were on. Chris Cabin and I have some couch time before the show.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you guys just get together, huddle up for a minute.
I thought that movie was Terry Bennett and Andy Garcia, like, I'm joining the gang. All right, let's do this heist together.
That's kind of what 13 is.
13,
oh, that's what I said.
He's got one
no.
scene. He's yeah, but in literally one scene, and he does nothing.
He's on the side of the Angels, though, I thought.
He's teaming up with the boys, I thought.
He buys them a drill. Like, he's not, like, in on the thing.
All right, let's go to Home Depot.
But no, it's
gentlemen, bygones be bygones.
Can we get a staircase over here? We have to get all the way up.
Yes, I do have a gift certificate.
George, move that Nespresso machine to the left.
Oh, man, the Nespresso commercials already.
Those are on George Clooney's IMDb. That is the only thing he appeared in 2017.
Burt Reynolds should sue those people. Right?
Yeah,
he's got no money left at all.
Yeah, what's his problem?
I don't know what his deal is.
Hey, I saw myself in a Frou Frou coffee commercial. I never got any money for it.
It's certainly not in my IMDb.
Hey, what happened to gum commercials? Do you remember in the 90s they had Double Mint?
Can you imagine me as a twin?
I'm seeing double. How about double cars?
Get Burt Reynolds in this movie.
Yes.
Let's spice it up.
Yeah, dude, honestly, that's somebody you could have thrown right in. He would have been right at home in a Vegas location like this.
He's like an elderly safe cracker.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Crack them all, dude.
Maybe he's Mr. Ocean Senior.
Yeah.
Would that work? That could work.
No, maybe. He'd be dead.
What?
Danny's father?
In this second movie, George Clooney was like 43 years old or something like that.
Nah, he's dead.
Also, as we know, in Ocean's 8, which I am looking forward to, FYI.
I'm totally pumped. Who directed that movie?
Gary Ross of Seabiscuit fame.
Okay.
Sandra Bullock is Danny's sister.
Yes.
Well, that's been really, spoiler alert, she's his sister.
It's in the trailer because she's like at his like quote-unquote grave.
Carl Reiner is in it.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them that are in it.
No.
Yes.
God damn. Wait, did Danny Ocean die?
No, I guaranteed it's a fake death situation.
Oh, shit.
It's like a mausoleum type thing, nice. I think.
Well, we're doing 8. We're definitely going to do 9 and 10, and I feel like 10's going to be everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be the greatest crossover ever attempted.
Danny Ocean's a vampire. He comes
out
of his mausoleum.
CGI Bernie Mac.
That's what my wife pointed out, actually. In a movie where you have both Carl Reiner and fucking Elliot Gould farting around, who saw Bernie Mac be in the first to
I
go?
Know. It's a shame.
And by the way, the Lord Almighty, just take that computer nerd.
Yeah, nobody wanted that guy
Bernie Mac is great, and they should have focused on him more. It's like he spends most of this movie in a jail.
Karate in jail, doing nothing.
Zero.
So the plot of this movie, I guess, which will be this episode, but it's really just...
Nothing.
No, it's actually pretty impressive what they pull off here, because the whole gang manages to lie down on their backs.
Hell yeah.
Flip their legs back up over their shoulders. shoulders, and they all suck their own dicks for two hours and 5 minutes.
Interesting.
Yes. Dude, this is the victory lap nobody was asking for. Fuck this movie.
It's absolutely a victory lap.
It feels so forced. Like nothing. There's no heist in your heist movie.
No, it's one of these like, oh, it fucked up. Oh, actually, no, it didn't. Gotcha. It all happened off camera. Now here's the credits. Don't you feel stupid?
Bye. Here's Albert Finney and fucking Catherine Zeta-Jones for no reason.
Here's a freeze frame on Catherine Zeta-Jones laughing to end our movie.
Boy, I will say, I mean,
we all had a good time, didn't we?
I mean,
she's laughing.
She is.
Hey. Laughing all the way to the bank, fucker.
She's laughing. She's not in this new movie, right?
I haven't checked.
I don't think so.
She doesn't deserve to be.
And neither is Julie.
Oh, Julia Roberts?
Julie. And I call her Julie.
Oh, you guys,
Are you friends with her like Bruce Willis is?
Yes.
Dude. I mean, we'll get to that eventually, but I was a fuming in the theater.
I mean, there's no reason
part.
For a plot synopsis. It's literally just a sequel to Ocean's 11. We start, and it's Danny and Julia Roberts. Tess are living in Connecticut. He's trying to buy her something nice. He's like goes to a bank to do something, but he's sort of casing the bank. You can tell he's a little... Actually, no, I'm sorry. The beginning is actually the best scene of the movie is the Brad Pitt and Catherine Zeta-Jones scene.
And that's the movie I want.
Wigs Are Us.
Yeah. He's looking particularly like 1999. They do a good job.
The other flashback, I thought I spotted a fashion mullet. I might be wrong here.
You might be right, actually.
I think they're both wigs. They're both wigs. It's all wigs.
But they make him look exactly, speaking of Julia Roberts, exactly like he looks in that movie, The Mexican.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's dressed almost exactly the same. And that movie was like, what, like 2001, something like
2000,
that?
2001, yeah.
And like he's basically like they're living together. It's like Rome 3 years ago. They're living together. It's like, and I mean, this movie's well directed because it's Soderbergh. It's all snappy and poppy.
It
and
all
fun.
Looks great. Yeah, the camera does. Work is awesome. And then you just realize you're still watching Ocean's 12.
And the editing is really slick too. You know what I mean? So like it's him, and he's like, yeah. By the way, how was your day? We find out she's a law enforcement officer. She's very close to cracking some big heist that has just happened. She found hair of the guy and blah, blah, blah. And like it's Brad Pitt realizing that he's going to get sunk. And he kind of sneaks out the window, freeze frame. We start in the credits.
One hell of a Selsun Blue plug.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
And you still never tried it. I remember that about you. You never used Selsun Blue.
I still have.
I never did.
I've never had a dandruff problem.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
A little rich boy over here.
I mean, my hair might be falling out, but my scalp's never falling out.
I am rich in flakes.
God.
I don't use Selsun Blue, though.
Well, maybe you should start.
No, I'm a Head and Shoulders man.
Well, can you start?
Head and Shoulders, if you're listening, I'll take some free stuff.
So, yeah, we cut to Connecticut, blah, blah, blah. This is when Danny is like going around. He's like, you can tell he's kind of a bit restless because the old gang, something, something.
Something, something. Also, by the way, he's going under the alias Miguel Diaz.
Okay.
I mean, it's fine, but come on.
Yeah, I was waiting for the banker to be like, excuse me? Your name is what? How is this pronounced?
Well, it's all a joke. It's not like this doesn't take place in a reality that is co-current to our own. Because he also says that he's like, oh, yeah, he's a wealthy, retired high school basketball coach. It's all meant to be. They don't exist.
And Julia Roberts is at home. They're having like a tete-a-tete about like, when are you coming back? Blah, blah, blah. She sees Andy Garcia in her driveway, which nobody ever wants to see.
Steve, I'm sorry. That's not Andy Garcia. It's Count Dracula.
Bram Stoker.
Dude, these outfits he's in this movie.
He looks like Gary Oldman in that movie.
I didn't get a chance to rewatch 11. I saw it like three months ago.
I did too.
He's not dressed like Dracula in that, right?
Dressed like a Vegas trash bag.
But a little bit.
Is he?
He's got like ascots.
I crossed oceans of time to find you, Danny.
Oh, ascots? So he's dressed like Peter Bogdanovich?
Oh, yeah. Well, Peter Bogdanovich had more of that rugged quality with his ascots.
Sure.
But this is all like silk ascots.
Not an outdoor ascot.
No, but strictly an indoor ascot.
He should have an enormous key that he's using. This is a fucking steampunk outfit.
It's ridiculous, dude. If he
should
just
have
like
an airship.
If he opened an umbrella and flew up into the air to an awaiting airship, I wouldn't have blinked.
That would be great. It's like, yeah. All right, I'm Julia Roberts, I'm here, and I want to make sure nobody heists my airship. I want those Ocean's boys off my airship.
He's got a scarf that's always floating, even when there's no wind.
Mm-hmm. You think I'm bad? You think I'm bad? I'll get you, the other casino owner, Sephiroth, down here.
I got a Buster sword. It's enormous.
So it's weird.
Bowser has a ship now, too.
He's seeking the $160 million that they stole from him. But it's a weird thing where, like, instead of, like, there's an inciting incident and then, like, you know, like, Danny Ocean and Rusty whatever the fuck have to get the band back together.
Rusty Ryan, by the way.
Oh, right.
Rob Ryan's brother. He's the third Ryan. It's Rex, Rob, and Rusty.
Yeah, and they all
What's
have foot fetishes. he's like, he gets the band back together. He goes around to every one of these motherfuckers, like the specter of death itself, and is like, you gotta get back in the game.
Yeah, well, it's weird because at the end of that first movie, his last lines are like, run and hide, motherfuck.
Right.
Because then he gives this whole like Goodfellas-esque speech of like, if I ever find you, I'm gonna pull your teeth out, shove them up your ass, and that whole like thing about like, I will murder you.
Ocean's 12, colon, teeth ass. Much better movie. Like, they just start finding crew members with their teeth gone, and they're like, wait, where's their teeth? Oh, wait, what? It's they're falling out of his asshole.
Wow, that guy meant that literally? That's pretty impressive.
That's why they call me the Tooth Fairy.
But that's what it should be. Like, maybe one of them dies in the beginning. That'd be fun, right?
Be great,
like,
well, sure, the computer nerd.
They eat so much fucking time with him just standing in people's apartments.
Oh my God, not just
fucking
him.
Restaurants. And that it should open with the one with Rusty because there's an explosion at least.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And that's how they opened the trailer, and I was like, okay, hooked.
Yep, exactly
there
right.
There are stakes. He's going to kill somebody. He should kill somebody.
But it's not just Andy Garcia that looms in doorways. He's got twins, Guy Fieri's next to him.
And
in what world do these guys talk?
And one of them is massaging Bernie Mac's feet.
Really?
Yeah. Did you not count? This lady is massaging Bernie Mac's feet, and he doesn't notice that fucking two hams start punching his foot.
I thought she had man hands.
It's Bernie Mac. He's going on this monologue about Jim Crow, by the way. And he's just like, what? Chili? Is there chili in here? What is it? Who's eating chili? Who around here? Who around me is eating chili right now?
Are your hands clubbed somehow?
But the weirdest thing, the weirdest line is Terry Benedict's line to Frank, Bernie Mac is like, every time I see you, Frank, you're always playing the race card.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
How often are you seeing this guy?
It's crazy. I think in 11, there's a thing with him and Matt Damon that's pre-planned to trick him. And I guess that's what he's referencing.
Yes, that's
but it's kind of weird to put that in out of context in a sequel years later.
And to contextualize it as every time I see you, he's like, didn't he work for Terry Benedict in that
first movie? Yes.
As Ramon something, right? He had a Ramon, fake identity or whatever.
Also, there's a line somewhere around here from Andy Garcia, and it may indeed be the line of the movie where he goes, I'm not the only person in the world looking for Ocean's 11.
Yeah, dude, come on.
Yeah,
there are only seven oceans, buddy. Right? Is that right? Or is that seas?
Anyway, I am just going to take this boat around, take this airship into port. I just don't.
Someone stole my airship. I had a chest of gold.
I honestly
think some cogs.
The
my
rudest. The absolute rudest Terry Benedict interruption in this opening montage is he totally ruins Casey Affleck's rehearsal dinner.
Yes.
Like, he's marrying some woman who you never see again.
Sure.
This and is everybody's a faux pas, man. Like, just wait until he's done toasting. What
seriously.
Is this? You're like, how are you going to get away with this? Like,
how'd you get into the back room of this Red Lobster? They rented it privately.
You threaten a guy. You're not in front of fucking 50 witnesses. It's a huge table.
But also, like, he's traveling around the country, around the world, just to be like, you've got 2 weeks. But, like, 2 weeks from when? From the first guy or the last guy? Because there's a lot of fucking plane travel around.
I didn't think of that, but you are absolutely right.
Connecticut to Utah? Shoot me in the head.
Yeah.
Matt Damon's in Chicago.
Yeah.
So what are we doing?
He could have just made his money back by not going to all these places.
Fat guy. Oh, fat guy number one. Are you kidding me that we are stranded here? I have to intimidate someone in 24
hours. Think about that. He's fucking buying seats for fat guys.
Hey, boss, I'm fat guy number two. Get it straight.
You booked us at O'Hare, not Midway? Holy fucking shit.
Wait, what do you mean you're too fat to fly? Wait, you're getting kicked off? We got to go threaten a guy.
I have to buy both seats?
We're renting a bus.
Oh, my God.
It's them and John Candy and Catherine O'Hara driving to intimidate Matt Damon.
I hate polka music.
Also, one of my fave details about all this is Yen, who's the Chinese gymnast.
Yes.
Yeah.
That dude is essentially living like BoJack Horseman at the beginning of this.
I want the whole Yen movie of him like being coked out. He's the only one that makes sense. Everybody else has like fun, imaginative whatevers. This guy is he's a coked out loser because you got $10 million and he doesn't know what to do with it.
Oh, he knows what to do with it.
He's doing it. He's
doing it. Snort it. Exactly. Snort all of it.
Yeah. By the way, this guy's filmography.
Yeah.
Three movies.
Really?
Ocean's 11, yeah. Ocean's 12, and Ocean's 13.
Wow.
Bing, bang,
wait,
and
that's
boom.
That's it? You didn't do like stunts or nothing?
Didn't do anything else.
I think he's like literally a gymnast.
Yeah, he's like a Chinese acrobat kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they found him. I forget.
He's actually pretty good. He's good. But yeah, it's just him. Like, this girlfriend is chewing him out. She's like, every time when they come over, blah, blah, blah. It's like, clearly the night before was crazy. What I want is Terry Benedict is coming to go see Yan. And it's Yan, and he's all coked out. And he's like, yeah, sit down, Terry. And Alfred Molina is in the background throwing firecrackers. You turn that shit on his head.
But we're still playing the Foreigner tune.
Yes, exactly.
What's your price for? I forget the.
Yeah, no,
that is Foreigner, isn't it?
I believe so. Motorin by.
Yeah, Sister Christian.
Oh,
is the song.
Yeah.
It's the song title by Night Ranger.
Night Ranger.
And the song is Sister Christian, but the chorus is Motorin.
Got it.
I think.
Yes,
Before
the tweets come in.
Here.
But yeah, so I mean, like other, yeah, so Casey Affleck is getting married. He gets fucking Don Cheadle's criminal accent in all three of these movies.
It's so bad.
It's like, just don't do it. Just do not do it.
No, we would miss all of the fun slang that's so great and entertaining.
Oh, really?
And like, oh my God.
I love that you meet him in a recording studio and he's like producing some shit. And literally the only scene in the movie he has is Jared Harris as like the studio assistant.
I kept on expecting him to come back at some point.
Why wouldn't you? It's fucking Jared Harris, of course.
But I mean, like, imagine having the balls to do that terrible British accent in front of Jared Harris.
Yeah.
He's got to be like, hey man, can I give you some tips for this shit? No? Okay.
Now listen, I've done, speaking of bad British accents, listen to this.
Yeah, here
but
we
like,
go.
No, this I'm not getting millions of dollars.
It might be better, so go ahead.
It's just like, I was dubbed in Lost in Space. You don't want to get dubbed.
They should have dubbed him. Get fucking Vinnie Jones in there.
Oh, the track they were producing was dubstep.
Oh. That's like the gag. It's like they're like, there's a bunch of bleeps in there, and every time they say fuck, they bleep it in the movie.
Oh, yeah,
with
yeah,
like
yeah.
a buzz from
it's a
the
bad,
other
like,
studio.
No, it's a phone ring.
Oh, is
it's
it
like
funk?
The Nextel noise it's, that you remember from
oh,
way back
God,
when.
The chirps. Oh, God, the chirps.
Hey, it's me, Terry Benedict. I'm chirping you.
Why did you... You up? Hey, you up? Please respond to my chirps. Thank you.
I'm chirping you because I want you to pay me $90 million.
What a fucking... What bullshit thing. What does he get
just
off?
Just kill the... He's like, you've got 2 weeks to do it, and there's like mysterious reasons as to why, but like literally just kill a couple of these
guys. I have an even better idea.
Yeah.
Why don't all these people who have fucking years in the criminal organizations
sure.
find one of the assassins they know... To kill Terry Benedict.
That's easy enough to
totally,
do.
Totally, man.
Get some blood on their hands.
That's 11 what, on one. You can do it.
You're telling me none of them know a hitman.
That huge fucking shit stain from the first movie comes back in this one for 2 seconds. You know that guy's taken a
please,
life.
Please stop kidding yourself.
What do they call that? His organization is, as Chris has said, two Guy Fieri's. You can get past that.
Oh, yeah. Easily. Just leave a couple stakes out like dogs. Like,
which guy?
Who's... His two, Terry Benedict's fucking handlers, Goon 1 and Goon 2.
Yeah. Oh.
We're saying, I'm saying they could be thwarted with
Stubby
meat.
Stubby and Plump.
Yes.
Stubby and Plump this fall on CBS.
They'll take it.
But yeah, they have 2 weeks. They all kind of get together finally, and we're all in a room, and like, hey, by the way, you know, we owe him all the money plus interest, which is actually $198 million. They kind of come to the agreement that they still have about $100 million left, so they need $100 million to go. And I'm like, good Lord. This is when we have the argument about Ocean's 11. Like, not only did Terry Benedict say it, now everyone's like, well, why are we Ocean's 11? I didn't get a vote on that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, please fucking kill me.
And was that listed in, like, the Las Vegas Sentinel or some shit? Like, that, you should have seen that, right? Like a newspaper whirls around and it's like Ocean's 11 vanish or some shit.
Well, no, it is called the Bellagio job.
Yeah.
Because Catherine Zeta-Jones later on, like, telling, like, I think these guys pulled the Bellagio job in 2001. And I'm like, in 2000, which one got more press, the Bellagio job?
Or 9/11?
Or 9/11. You know, which crime got more
press? Oh, Osama bin Laden. I heard he pulled the 9/11 job in 2001.
Osama bin Laden owes me $160 million, and I'm giving him 2 weeks to get it to me.
With Vig.
Listen here, you Saudi bastard. I had $100 million in the World Trade Center. I just had it there. I rented an office. I had it full of hundos in case I ever came to Manhattan.
I stacked a few in the shape of a man. I thought it was kind of cute.
I'm on the phone with Osama bin Laden. Run and hide, Osama bin Laden. Run and hide. Because Terry Benedict is after you now.
That's right. I'm after you. Okay, Morgan Spurlock, go get him.
Man, that movie was fucking stupid. Oh,
man, God. That guy is fucking stupid.
Totally.
That he's career, trash. Right? My God.
Oh, he's over. Yeah, he had like some sex stuff too.
Oh,
right?
Yes, that's
what I'm referencing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, I mean, I just meant like he also, like, his career was just tanked anyway because he sucked.
He ate hamburgers. He didn't
vomited
find...
up the hamburgers too. You got to remember that part.
Oh really? Oh, yeah. Afterwards? In that one scene, did he do it all the time?
He must have done it all the time though.
How he kept
what?
Trim.
The vomited up this stuff. The McDonald's, like stuffing your mouth with McDonald's for fucking how long was it?
Wait, but
30 days.
30 days. Come on, everybody knows
that. He had that failed TV show 30 days.
Also called 30 days. But wait a second though. Are you saying that whole thing was bogus?
He'd eat
the shit and then throw up?
No, oh, no, not like constant.
He's a crisis actor. He didn't really eat those McDonald's. If you eat McDonald's, you look like me, Alex Jones.
They realize, and also I don't understand why all these people are in America. Like, you pull a job like that, you go. You're in Europe. You know, you're in Europe anyway. Like, just get the fuck out of America.
Well, that's like Elliot Gould, dude. He's like across the street. Like, he's still in Vegas.
Well, the thing is, he doesn't know about Ocean's 11. I think at the end of the first movie, he only knows about Danny Ocean.
What? He doesn't know about the heist?
No, he knows about the heist, but he doesn't know how many, all the people that
he knows Danny. He does not know the team.
Oh, he specifically? No.
Because
I think
what's his face? The Night Fox informs him on the team's identity.
Really?
I think so.
I don't think he knows who the whole team is.
There aren't scenes in that first movie where he's like sitting with everybody.
He's talking with Danny and Brad Pitt about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. When did you? I rewatched it like a week ago.
Like 2 weeks ago.
I might have greened out, so.
I mean, he might know Rusty. That's,
he does.
He talks to Rusty.
I think so. I think
over the phone only, because that's the bit at the end.
They come to him at a pool and try to convince him to do this.
Yeah, not Elliot Gould. I'm talking about
Terry Benedict.
Oh, I thought we were talking about, because I just said Elliot Gould was in Vegas.
I thought we were Goulding it up right now.
Dude, back. Eric and I are Goulding out over here, man. What are you doing?
Welcome back to Goulding Out.
Dude, actually, that would make a pretty good podcast.
Tonight we're talking getting straight.
Yeah, just talking about Gould's filmography.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, getting Gould. That's what it's called.
Fool's Gould.
It's definitely Fool's Gould.
And then, by the way, you just every like so often you sneak in an episode of the podcast that's just some movie about ghosts.
Or you just
Fool's
Ghouls. Do some Friends episodes.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Get those in there.
Mm-hmm.
So
Terry Benedict, okay, yeah, he's totally clueless. You're right, yeah.
But that's the thing is, like, I don't know. I just feel like, why give them time? Also, why not kill them? And see, like, why don't they just be like, hey, you know how we tricked him that first time and no one had a problem ever since? Like, why don't we just go off the grid again and move? Like,
yeah.
All right, now I live one block over because this guy's a fucking Mickey Mouse nobody.
If you have millions of dollars, you can change your name. Come on.
You could
do whatever you want. Anything. Literally, you could murder people and bury the bodies and people would be okay with it.
Well, that's what Terry's been doing, presumably.
Also, they did change their name, man. Miguel Diaz. Yeah, come on.
Make it a little bit believable.
So Brad Pitt suggests they all go to Amsterdam. Oh, but we should talk about the Topher Grace scene. It really irritates me.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because at least
he's in Ocean's 11. He plays himself. He's researching, like, cards for a role.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
and there's a proto Molly's game kind of thing.
Huh? What?
That's like a Molly's game joke. Yeah. Like, because Molly's game was going, like, the movie
Aaron
Molly's
Sorkin
game,
movie.
Yeah, I didn't see it. What
wait,
it's
wait,
about
it's
about celebrity.
It came out
poker
in 2001?
No, but the real thing was happening then.
Wait, what? There was an actual Molly?
There was an actual Molly, and she played a game of poker.
Really? I thought that was a drug reference.
Wait, so this woman was, like, teaching celebrities poker?
Yeah, that was
how
setting
that
a movie?
Up big games for them to play.
But how is that a movie?
I mean, I didn't see
so
it.
They can play privately without
okay,
anybody
all right.
else.
All right, what celebrities are in this?
Well, Michael Cera plays some character.
Tobey Maguire
is also there.
Steve Jobs in there at all?
Or like, Steve Jobs?
Wait, what's Aaron Sorkin?
How the fuck do you... Oh, I see.
You get Fassbender to play him.
No, but that's what I
that
think.
That was the Danny Boyle movie, wasn't it?
Wait.
Yes.
Oh, wait. No, but Sorkin wrote that script.
Oh, Sorkin wrote the script. Yes, that's
my
right.
My God.
Anyway.
I'm going so crazy fucking over confused.
Here. Okay, so you're saying it's steampunk.
So, yes. So Tobey Maguire is in a hotel room. Topher Grace is in a hotel room. Now, that's all fucked up. He's trashed it. And he drops, like, 3 or 4 Topher Grace-specific jokes that yes. no one could ever get. It's like, oh, man, I quit the show. And you have to be like... Oh, Topher Grace is on that sound.
No. Everybody got that instantly.
At that show was fucking massive.
Did they get that he phoned in that Dennis Quaid movie,
thank
which
you.
Is a reference in, to
In
Good,
Good
Company.
Company.
Which
yes,
I remember,
that one.
I remember kind of liking when it came out, but I might
like
be wrong.
Movie.
I haven't rewatched it. I saw it in the theater.
I mean, I don't have like a passionate feeling about the damn
thing.
Well,
no, there's the biggest fuck you to us and our alma mater of all time in that movie. Because
really?
That's... Because the end of the movie is like Dennis Quaid's like, well, I don't have any money or whatever. And Scarlett Johansson playing his daughter is like,
oh, yeah, that's right.
That's okay. I don't have to go to NYU. I can just go to Purchase.
And I'm like, fuck you.
I might as well ride the subway as a bum and go to a state school.
She was going to go to Purchase.
Yes. Yeah.
She was going to go to Purchase and be in the film program. And then the fucking Sofia Coppola movie took off.
Then she realized she was rich and famous and didn't have to degrade herself.
It's just this fucking, oh, I guess I'll just slum it at a state school. Fuck you.
Do you have a lozenge? It won't help.
Man, if imagine, all right, so Scarlett Johansson goes to SUNY Purchase.
Yeah.
And she's the fifth mic on We Hate Movies.
Yeah.
That's how that would have worked out.
And we hate movies.
Better podcast.
It's a couple of fat guys and me, Scarlett Johansson. Hollywood never was. What do you mean you don't like Halloween 2? It's the same movie. If you like the first one, why wouldn't you like the second one?
I agree with Scarlett here. I actually do like Halloween 2. Not the Rob Zombie, but
yeah,
the
I like
Halloween
the Rob
Zombie
hospital.
One too.
Is that what she was talking about?
No. Is that what she was talking about, that conversation we just made up?
You know, the only voices I do on the show is in the Saw episode. I do Danny Glover. That's it.
Oh, God.
And so they go to Amsterdam. Brad Pitt specifically is like, we should go to Amsterdam because I know a guy.
Because it's that legal. Up-
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, dude, that's how you hash out a plan like this, pun intended.
What I love about this fucking plan, too, I don't know if we're even there yet, but eventually we get to this point where it's just like, all right, I'm Danny Ocean, and we're setting up this big heist. First, I need a guy to build a diorama for days on end. It's got
2 weeks.
It's like this, if they put enough effort in this fucking model, I cannot believe how intricate it is.
He goes to see Rob Corddry, and he says, you got a miniatures, man?
It is.
Coltrane, by the way.
A Coltrane.
It's an excellent model.
It's an amazing model.
All I could think about is when Doc Brown's like, excuse the crudity of this model,
I didn't have time to draw it to scale or to paint it.
But here's the thing about that. I mean, like, to your point, it's that first movie, it's like Don Cheadle does explosives, Matt Damon's a pickpocket,
yeah.
You know, blah, 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 Bernie Mac knows the gambling industry. Now we're all just sitting around in a room, what? And we're basically doing improv Talk. Everywhere. That's all it is. This entire bit is improv everywhere. It's a fucking no pants subway ride. For that's there. Every con is just is
we're
a comedy.
Need 12, talk. It's gonna, all talk.
We're gonna need 12 people to ride the subway in their underwear.
God, I
and
hate
it's gonna
that
be
shit.
So fucking funny.
I hate
funny.
That shit so much.
It's gonna be so fucking funny.
Casey Affleck, you've got the hat this time.
I like improv everywhere to degrees, but
dancing in Grand Central. Whoa!
But that's what it is. I mean, like that's
take
all
that squares.
That's all that they're doing in this movie. It's not like it's not a smart heist where everyone's skills are in play.
No,
that's why we need 11 guys. Blah 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 blah.
No, we're just keeping everybody together so no one gets murdered.
Oh, by the way, Carl Reinhardt bows out of this movie, which is kind of cool. Where he's just like, "Look, guys. You know what? I'm too old for this shit. You guys enjoy it. I hope my last check bounces. Goodbye."
Yeah, he's like just blowing through all his money, and he's basically like, "Yeah, Terry Benedict, come fucking kill me. See if I care. I'm literally 100 years old.
You want to give me a Colombian necktie? Just do it."
I fucking was on the. I
would love to see that.
I was on the show of shows. I certainly shouldn't live to the Obama era. Like, you know what, dude? Just go for it.
Oh yeah, the Robbie Coltrane thing. That's another an annoying bit where they're doing like a speaking in like code.
They're
yeah.
talking. I read this in the trivia. It's lyrics from Kashmir by Led Zeppelin.
That's what Matt Damon does.
Is that only? So it's
yeah.
Just him
so they're all like just saying bullshit lines or whatever. And then Matt Damon's like the newbie who wants to have like a bigger role in the plan. So they're like, "All right, come meet Robbie Coltrane with us." Yeah. And they're all like talking bullshit. And then Robbie Coltrane looks at Matt Damon and he just says a line from Kashmir. Because then they leave the bar and George Clooney's like, "Kashmir? Really?"
Yeah, oh, right.
So it's just him doing the okay. one line.
But I just am tired of Matt Damon and this baby shit he does in this movie.
He's like six years younger than everyone else. And it's like, "Oh, Jimmy G. Willikers, Danny, can I shine your shoes?"
Dude,
like,
I am waiting
35
for
years old.
Matt Damon to be like walking in like a town square in Amsterdam and like his backpack zipper breaks and all his notebooks fall out.
Oh, no, my studies.
One of your friends from pickpocket school clearly got killed at some point. You have to have some edge. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, I don't buy that
he
at all.
He comes from a family of professional fucking thieves.
Fagin had to beat you up one time. I'm sorry.
By the way, two things about Matt Damon. One, he did not want to be in this movie. He had just done one of the Bournes. He was tired. He was exhausted. He was like, "Could you write me out of the movie?"
Or at least give him like a lesser role or something.
Yeah, but Soderbergh talked him out of it. But apparently, the Tribune, because there in the first movie, Mark Wahlberg was supposed to play his character but backed out. And then I think maybe as a bargaining...
That's why we have three of these things. Because we evaded that.
Then as a bargaining chip or whatever, they're like, "We'll bring Mark Wahlberg back to play your character."
Whoa.
Kind of a thing.
No. Wait, so Mark Wahlberg would have just stepped in playing the same person?
That, I mean, I think that's on the IMDb. We know that's spurious.
Well, no, that is the world's most trusted news outlet. It's the IMDb trivia.
At this point, yes. Yo, bro. Yeah, no, Linus Larrabee spent the weekend in Boston and he came out looking like me, bro.
Oh, shit, he was working out. Yeah, I'm from a family of crooks.
So he went to a Sox game and fell into a vat and emerged.
Hey, Danny. Fell into a vat of Sam Adams and came out like that.
Hey, Danny, can I bow out of this one? The Pats are on.
Way to get...
What if my character just loves sitting around watching the Pats, and that's his thing?
Yo,
Linus? My name's Linus?
Bro, that name is gay. I'm Gary now.
Yo, Bashata, come here for a second. Yo, come back. Yo, what's the deal with Yan? Is he Vietnamese or what?
Because my radar's going off.
No, he's trying. All right, that's fine.
You sure? All right, I'll check back with you tomorrow.
Because you know I did a hate crime against a Vietnamese guy.
You understand him?
There's a great line where they're all crammed in this hotel talking about nothing, and someone sure. is blocking Elliot Gould's path to the toilet.
Oh, yeah, that's
to which
good.
He just says, otherwise, I'm going to shit on your feet.
Which, the best part of this movie, honestly.
It was a legitimate laugh, let me tell you.
There's a couple of them here. Like this movie is a comedy, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And some of the jokes hit, most of them don't.
There's like some Miller's Crossing. Like they talk about Miller's Crossing in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, it's
makes him cry every time, man.
It's the John Turturro part where he's about to get blown away. And I don't know why it comes up. I think it comes up specifically because Albert Finney's going to be in the movie later. So it's that's kind of what we're doing.
And also they're going to be executed.
Oh, right. Yeah, they are about to be executed. Boy. If only this movie was a choose your own adventure.
Robbie Coltrane hooks them up and they're about to do... the first job, which is actually not very good, which is a $2 million job to steal the first stock certificate ever from this agoraphobic guy who's
played... From the man who framed Richard Kimball.
That's right, Chris. I knew you'd get that.
Oh, really? That's that dude?
That's him.
Oh, sick. It's nice to see that guy still working.
You framed your results!
Somebody loves The Fugitive.
I do, too.
It's a good movie. That's a real put it on and sit down.
Confident. I can say this in no uncertain terms. I have not watched The Fugitive in like 25
Whoa.
Years.
Oh, what a mistake.
I haven't seen it in
it
ages.
Is, I would say, top five Hangover movies, easily.
Yes.
It might be the reigning king.
I might fight you on... Oh, no. All right, you're right. No,
you're going to fight us?
Shawshank is up there.
Fugitive is one. I think Ocean's 11 is two or three. I think
really?
Ocean's 11
is definitely a Hangover movie.
The ultimate Hangover movie. Really? It's actually good.
I will say what's great about Ocean's 11 is all their antics actually lead to something. Like it's all in aiding of the heist. And this movie, it's just meandering.
Well, it's constant work. Like what Soderbergh is so good at is showing labor. Like mm-hmm. Magic Mike is so good because they show him doing the roofing stuff. This is how you actually make a living this way.
Yeah.
Whereas this is just like failure after failure. And all your
failure and leisure.
And backstory and nonsense gabbing at each other.
So this guy's agoraphobic. And so he never leaves his house. How are we ever going to steal this thing? They decide to raise the house in some such way.
Right, because they're trying to line up like this little Batman gadget.
Yeah. They're going to shoot a crossbow into a window to hit a certain spot. But if they raise the building, it's stupid.
They manipulate the line of sight is the idea.
They have to buy these things from what I imagine has to be Boeing or something to fucking put up the building. And I'm like, who are you? What government are you colluding with to get this material?
That's a good point. And also, you're also spending more than $2.5 million
easily
to do this.
Is this the thing that Robbie Coltrane hooks them up with, or he just hooks them up with the job?
He hooks them up with the job, and the idea is like, we'll do this job, then he'll get us a better job next week, and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, right, because that's their initial approach to all this is like, we're just going to...
penny jar method.
Yeah, we're going to do a bunch of gigs until we make up this 160 mil or whatever it is.
We're intercut with Catherine Zeta-Jones, who's the head of Europol, who is like, by the way, the world's greatest criminal is this guy called the Night Fox, blah, blah, blah. Put that in your back pocket.
Can I say, I think she's really good in this.
She's good.
I think actually the new recruits
are
the best part. And I kind of think they should have just fucking like... Danny finds out they all got massacred.
I agree with this.
And he has to get a new team.
Because the best part of the first movie is being introduced to everybody for the first 40 minutes, and then the last 40 minutes is the gag.
It's the same thing with this movie, except for it sucks.
But I mean, like, meeting new characters for specific purposes.
Right, yeah, there's not enough new blood in this. Like, the 12th person is Julia Roberts.
Oh, is she ever.
So they do this thing, and Catherine Zeta-Jones is like, the heist goes fine. They get the thing or whatever.
No, they don't.
Oh, they don't get it?
They open up
the safe. Oh, because it's already stolen in the Night Fox. That's
the
right.
Night Fox.
The Night That's Fox, right. by the way, the way what he does, his trademark, is he leaves a little figurine of a Night Fox to say, you've been had by the Night Fox. Because it's basically that Simpsons gag. The cat burglar.
Oh, right.
The Night Fox also wears sneakers for sneaking.
Listen, you want me to get you one of these tiny little fox figurines? You got to order 500. I'm sorry. I don't do small shit.
Sacre bleu, the minimum order quantity is ruining me. It's ruining me. My goodness, I have to pull 500 jobs just to do it.
But they do successfully raise this building and get all that shit. But then they like leave it all. And Catherine Zeta-Jones is like on the case, and she's like, oh, I know exactly how they did this. Are there a bunch of stilts under this house? And she like recalls some other job where this exact same thing happened.
Lamarck.
I hate this movie for the super thief garbage.
Yes.
Because the first movie, it's like, here's a clever way we robbed a casino. And right. this is just like getting into the mythology of thieves throughout the years and the super burglars.
It's a great idea because it's the idea of like, it's not just one man's job. You do have to have a bunch of people doing different things, and it's a perfect symbol for filmmaking.
Yeah, maybe
you have to have a bunch of people doing a bunch of things to make a movie.
Maybe in America, but in Europe, we have super thieves.
Yes.
We have I'm surprised they don't have a John Wick hotel of super.
Yes,
thieves.
They do. It feels very John Wickish.
Yeah.
Hey, that hotel movie that's coming out with Sterling K. Brown,
Artemis,
is that a spinoff of John Wick?
No, I think it's just the same idea, just done in the future.
It's in the future.
I think so.
Because John Wick made money. You see,
oh.
So then everybody has to make movies like it.
Oh yeah, I thought it was like, isn't it? It's like a hotel in John Wick, or it's like a hospital, or
it's
something.
It's like a hospital for assassins.
That's what I just thought that this was.
I mean, it's a hotel in John Wick.
It's a hotel in John Wick, but this is a hospital.
Oh, okay, I did not watch the trailer yet. This episode is recorded before I watched the trailer.
Wait a second, though. So the movie is called Hotel Artemis.
But it's a hospital.
But it's a hospital. It's a place where you get treated like Jodie Foster's some crooked doctor.
What? Oh, my God. My fucking head hurts.
So speaking of making your head hurt, this movie continues. They've been had by the Night Fox, who's played by none other than Vincent Cassel. That's why we were doing such a bad French accent.
Right.
Vincent Cassel is great. He's
awesome.
Great in this movie. He's great in Eastern Promises. He's great in Black Swan.
He's great in Lane. Hate.
Oh, yep. Read My Lips.
Anyone see The Brotherhood of the Wolf in the last 20 years or not so much?
I've always hated that movie.
You're probably right.
Is when that movie was coming out and I was a younger man.
That's the only time I've seen
this
it.
Looks fucking awesome. It
looks like Mortal Kombat.
And then it came out and I couldn't get to the theater right away and everyone told me how terrible it was. So I was like, I guess I can't go see it. And then I never watched it in my life.
Did we go together, Kevin? I saw that movie in the theater.
I saw it on DVD.
Oh, I saw it in the theater, and I remembered liking it, but I have not gone back.
I haven't seen it in 20 years.
Graphics are legit Mortal Kombat level.
I loved it. But that was also during the time when I loved the movie The Boondock Saints. I liked edgy movies
you did.
With that were independent, in quotation marks.
Like the snuff films. Independent.
And that one's also a foreign film. You're just going for it then.
Oh, yeah, dude. With Mark Dacascos of Only the Strong and Iron Chef fame.
That's what the fuck. Guys, I got to go home.
he is the Night Fox who is known to be the greatest living thief. And he kind of summons Danny Ocean to his abode. He's like some millionaire and he does it just for fun.
That's an obnoxious thing
he's
about this
baron.
Character.
He's a baron.
Yeah. He's like royalty and it's like, I am just so bored. I'm going to be a world famous thief too now.
Yeah. That's what fucking Prince Harry's up to. We don't know about it though.
It's all his secret missions. He said he joined the armed services.
Exactly. This is like French Thomas Crown horse shit. Like, stop it.
So he's like, you know, and Lamarck is actually in Catherine Zeta-Jones' very belabored speech. She refers to the greatest thief as a guy, Lamarck, who's presumed dead. He's like, you know, my teacher.
Mentor
is the word I'm looking for. Lamarck was having a conversation, and they said that the Bellagio job was the best job anyone's ever pulled, and that makes you, Danny Ocean, the greatest thief. But I said, no. And what he did was he ratted out Danny Ocean and his team to Terry Benedict, asked for 2 weeks, and then within this 2 weeks, he will have the best thief in the world contest and the best. And if Danny wins, he will pay back Terry Benedict. But if he loses, he will not.
And it was Jerry Weintraub who said this to Albert Finney. And it comes back in the third movie. This stupid scene.
Who's Jerry Weintraub?
Jerry Weintraub was the famous producer. He just recently passed away.
Yeah, but so what did he say to Albert Finney?
He's the one on the boat telling Albert Finney Bellagio job was the best job I've ever seen.
Oh, I did not.
And
catch
Albert
that at
Finney
all.
Like doesn't. And it's a stupid scene that nobody would remember. Yeah, but in the third movie, he comes back and references it.
Albert Finney does?
No, Jerry Weintraub is a huge part of the third movie.
I don't remember that at all.
He's the one who's bringing all the investors to Al Pacino's bank, and like him and George Clooney are. It's a lot.
I just remember Al Pacino bebopping and scatting all through that.
He's
movie,
doing
man.
Quite a lot of it.
And Ellen Barkin's trying to fuck Matt Damon, and there's something about fake faces. Is Matt Damon's got a disguise?
I don't
on?
Think I ever saw that movie.
Does he's got Ellen, a big nose.
Does Ellen Barkin yes. Play anyone's girlfriend? Because in these two movies, no one's allowed. No women are allowed unless you're somebody's girlfriend. You're true. Only allowed to be in the movie unless you're somebody's girlfriend.
She's obsessed with Al Pacino.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, so she's kind of his girlfriend,
and she's trying to fuck Matt Damon eventually.
Yeah, 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 it's weird,
because,
but she's not tied
he puts
to
Spanish
anybody.
Fly on.
Oh right, yeah. So, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in that
yep,
movie. A
lot of it.
So he challenges them to steal a Fabergé egg in Rome, and that's kind of when. And this is an hour in, by the way, because there's been a lot of. Fucking around. There was that whole fucking Venice sequence that went nowhere.
We get to see Brad Pitt in like 12 shiny shirts. They could have called this movie 12 shiny shirts, and the first one was 11 shiny shirts. It's really the.
This
it's
is
so
a wardrobe
dated.
That only makes sense on the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah,
it's a
he
kind
of looks like a Backstreet Boy.
Oh sure.
Also, famously, this character's got like the tattoos that like go up his wrist and whatnot, which leads to a joke somewhere in this movie where like George Clooney and him are talking about like his past relationship with her, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I tried to get that tattoo removed, but the doctor said because of where it's located, he would advise against it."
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure he's got a dick
tats.
Tattoo
dick
with like Catherine Zeta-Jones face on
it. You know
him.
What? Yeah, it's tats. Underrated, the scrotum tattoo.
Ooh, oh, right. Yeah, you got to keep it shaved.
I think the only scrotum tattoo you could get would be Krang.
Oh, that would be a great one.
That would be
one.
Great.
Oh, wait,
but you'd be there all day.
Shredder, I'm getting cancer. You should get screened.
You'd also bleed out before the end of the
Shredder.
Day.
Shredder. I have a beard.
Shredder, I'm looking like an old prospector down here. You'd better trim. I was in the pool.
Wait, so is it Shredder's nutsack?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that would be ultimate affront to Krang. He's just like, no, Bebop, do it. You do tats, right? You do jailhouse tats, right?
Oh, dude.
Yeah, I wanted to look like Krang, so every time I know, he's my fucking nutsack.
A great adult bit they could have done in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is that body he's in, like, it breaks and, like, in the crotch region, and then Krang falls down, and then it's like, oh shit, he's hanging Brain. It's like a little
hanging Krang.
Yeah, little Krang. Part of Krang is hanging out of this broken thing in the cod piece, and it's disgusting.
Yes.
It's fucking gross.
That'd be an interesting way to go for the fourth Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie.
Bebop, don't help him. I just look at him. He looks like testicles.
Yeah, David Cronenberg's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Thanks for coming out to this New Jersey VFW hall at 4 o'clock on a Sunday. This concert's gonna be awesome. Up next, we have Shredder's Nutsack.
But basically, Brad Pitt is doing the George Clooney role in so far as he's making the job personal, which you're not supposed to do.
Exactly right.
And involving his ex-wife or ex-girlfriend.
You got to leave that shit at the door. You got to leave it at the door.
Is that just like the first movie?
That's exactly like the first movie,
Oh,
Eric.
My God.
And so Catherine Zeta-Jones gets wise to them. She arrests Bernie Mac from the movie. Like, Bernie Mac gets arrested from the movie.
He's never to return again.
He's in movie jail until the final scene.
He's shown being released, and that's it.
Yep.
Goodbye.
And it's not even like a fun, interesting, like, oh, while you thought he was gone, he was doing... No, while he was gone, he was literally just in jail.
Yep, that was it. He just sat there for 60
5 minutes.
Maybe that's when the Bernie Mac show was going on. Maybe it was a scheduling thing. I don't know what it is, but it sucks.
He should lead this movie, honestly.
At some point, and this is a bit of a problem, they put Yen in a suitcase for no reason.
Oh, it's not a suitcase, friend. It's a duffel bag. Yeah.
And there is a reason, right? Because he was made or something, so yeah. They can't show him in public. So they're trying to transport him to another city. But the bag, instead of going to Barcelona, goes to Madrid or whatever. But somehow he eventually gets reunited with them. He gets delivered to the hotel in a bag.
Like, Jesus, this dude should be dead.
Yeah.
He bends in half to get inside of this thing. You're instantly dead.
By the way, they shove in fucking Cheetos and fucking Oreos in this. When you open this bag, the smell would fucking rip the paint off an airport.
Do you think it was in a diaper or something?
Yeah, that's
it would have to be. It would have to be.
I want that. Like Brad Pitt's like, by the way, just in case. And he like passes him a thing of Depends.
Yeah.
Don't even like extricate the shit and piss from it. The smell of the armpits and the general odor.
Well, just from all the food, the farting. Yeah. My God, farting. Well, you know, they do like a lot of cute names in this thing. It's like, oh, we should do a three-eyed monkey or, we'll do the blind man's bluff or whatever the hell, like gag. So this one was called the Dahmer Travel because you put a tiny man inside of a suitcase and carrying him around like he's nothing.
Actually, quite specifically, a tiny Asian man.
Yeah.
Also known as the Bernie Lomax.
But yeah, he should be dead. Also, like, I know you're limber and you could like bend like that for a minute, but for hours or days, like, you're done.
It is like days.
Mm-hmm.
It is ridiculous.
Permanent back problems. Yen is done.
He's like, he's going from like what, the Netherlands to Spain in this. Come on, man. Yeah, he's on a conveyor belt at the airport.
Yep.
But also, like, all three of them are made. It's Brad Pitt, George Clooney, and Yen get made. They put on baseball caps and sunglasses and shove this poor fuck in a suitcase. Like, you know what, dude? Get him a fake mustache.
And here's the thing. I remember in the first movie when you stuffed him in a box. Don't think I forgot about that.
Exactly.
You stuffed that fucker down deep into a box, and now he's stuffed into a fucking bag that you carry hockey equipment around in.
Don't you love this movie as much as the first?
Wind up, so the idea is they're going to steal this Fabergé egg, and now we cut to who is the 12th of the Ocean's Gentlemen, Eddie Izzard, who's getting,
right.
Like, he's in the movie, but he's not in the movie.
Yes, and by the way, this movie, it's the early 2000s for sure, because the big break.
Eddie Izzard is employed?
Yeah. The big breakthrough here is like hologram technology.
Oh, yeah,
like that's
dude.
The thing. So he devises this little platform where it's like they will do a flawless or seamless like swipe of the egg while this fucking hologram of the egg is activated. It's kind of like an Indiana Jones idol thing.
Which I just kept thinking, like, why not just get a fake egg?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cheaper?
Yeah, but it wouldn't go as smoothly.
They're going to pull out like a friggin' laptop to set this thing up.
Yeah, that's actually true.
I'm very clueless how this...
You can have an HDMI table.
Yes! That's what it looks like. It's like, I'm like, wait, how did this work? Wait, okay, so she impersonates Julia Roberts. We'll get there. But like, how does this work?
They also start planting that seed quite early on where they're like, don't you think Tess looks like, And they're like, don't say that. She gets so mad. And I remember sitting in the theater being like, there's no way that they're going to like bring that back and it's going to be she looks like Julia Roberts. There's no way. Like maybe she looks like some other world famous thief they know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
No.
But then again, why would you say something so stupid unless you're bringing it back?
Yeah.
So Catherine Zeta-Jones is obsessed with catching them. They evade her by killing their friend and leaving with fake sunglasses. She forges some documents to get a warrant out on them.
Yeah, she works outside the lines here, dude.
And we keep getting intercut this like breathless montage of way back when they're like, when her and Brad Pitt met in wherever the fuck.
And by the way, like that's kind of the movie that I want. Like, just the two of them sitting around a hotel
Sexcapades.
Room, fucking each other's brains out. Like, can you imagine?
That's what the Thomas Crown Affair is?
Yeah. If you're going to do full Breathless. He's got to get murdered at the end of this movie.
Right. Oh, totally. Just shot in the street like a dog. Spoiler alert for Breathless.
That movie's 50 years old. or 60 almost. But also in one scene, I think it's the part when she meets Brad Pitt in the current timeline. Timelines. Christ, so shit. In the current timeline, she meets him in her hotel room or whatever, and she's wearing this red outfit, and I'm like, oh, shit. They should have made a Carmen Sandiego movie with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, it was right there.
How it was right did they there. Fuck that up? It was right there.
Yeah, aren't they making a Carmen Sandiego
They've
movie?
They've been trying to for a while, but no, they should have just done it
they
this
couldn't
one.
Get the they couldn't get it to boot up.
They yeah. lost the third disc and now the game is useless.
We're trying to install it via floppy drive.
Did you guys watch that show?
Oh yeah.
The cartoon, yeah, maybe.
No, not the cartoon. Wasn't it like a game
it's
show?
A game show.
Well, there was also a cartoon.
I didn't watch that. Oh, yeah, I'm totally right. It's a thing. I thought this was the case. It's Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin.
Oh, that's cool.
It's Carmen Sandiego.
I'm into
it. Oh, okay. Is it a show or a movie?
According to IMDb, it says it looks like it's going to be a cartoon because it says she's doing the voice. Okay.
I want live action.
Yes.
Yeah totally. Yeah. What the fuck? What the fuck?
Seriously.
God.
My God, we could do
any other big studio. You're looking for something to go up against Ocean's 8, a female-led fucking hijinks heist movie?
No. Society deemed we have to play Where in the World is Matt Lauer instead.
Not anymore. Yeah.
He's at home doing nothing.
House arrest.
Maybe
where
getting divorced.
In the world is Matt Lauer's button.
I fucking hated that guy.
What are you talking about? Ill-gotten button? No, he had a button that like would lock the door to his office.
Right. Oh, right. What a fucking maniac.
These guys are, you know what? Electric chair, honestly. For the fucking first second I saw that creep, I knew he was a no-good Nick.
Also, by the way, speaking of creeps, this is guaranteed to be probably not that great. The Carmen Sandiego thing is at Netflix.
Ooh, that means they don't care.
Oh, come on. Yeah, the 50, Boss 50. Baby cartoon's so good.
Oh, Chris good Cabin, gracious.
Chris Cabin, have you seen that Benji yet? I saw a billboard.
I have
a
not.
Benji. There's a Benji.
I know there's a Benji remake.
On
dog?
Netflix.
Yeah,
yes, there's a new Benji show or movie on Netflix. You would have never known.
Is it a limited run series?
I think
because
it's a movie.
Of the end of it, he gets put down.
That'd be awesome. Old Yeller, that
Benji's
son
final
of a bitch.
Run.
Oh, wait, it's a movie?
I think it's a movie.
Benji the Hunted for good.
Yeah, it's him up against Benicio del Toro.
Oh, shit, I'd watch that.
Shredder, who did you hook up with last night? I'm on fire down here.
Did you fuck sit Benji? On that?
No, I wanted to get it in there. You know, before the record was closed on this episode.
Gotcha. You know what else is definitely a super 2004 thing that is farting all throughout this movie? The endless fucking French jokes.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Like, once they figure
it's arty. It's very. This is like an artistic film. Because it's got French references.
No,
and
it's
Italian
it's,
as well.
It's fucking, it's like this close away from like Freedom Fries type shit.
Oh. What happened?
Why did they not make a Freedom Fries joke?
No, he's asking you for example.
Yes, please.
Oh, I don't remember. It's a lot of just like frog this, that. It's just
it's
like
French stuff.
Well, it's like the night fox. He must be a pussy because he's French.
Oh,
and
right,
just like stupid shit like that.
Well, and he's fucking a lot. That's the big thing. Is he is fucking a lot.
That's Vincent Cassel, dude. He's fucking right now.
Yes.
Vincent Cassel is fucking something right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, the most impressive part of this movie, which is kind of like they make their own plan to it's the Ocean's 11 plan to get involved to blah 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 to steal this egg, and they're like, okay, you do this, you do that, and we do a bunch of like, oh, we'll do a three-headed monkey, blah blah blah.
No, what we're gonna do is we're gonna do like inner space, we're gonna shrink down, and we're gonna steal that egg's yolk. They should do something crazy like that. They should just go all in.
You know, there's not like an actual egg inside of Fabergé egg. Right?
I know.
That was
a
Simpsons joke.
But it would taste delicious.
It would be Cadbury or Up.
So decadent.
So, but they're about to steal this egg, but Vincent Cassel calls Catherine Zeta-Jones, and he wears a fake mustache. And I feel like if you're like the head of Europol, you can spot a fake mustache a mile away.
You should be able to. Mm-hmm. You'd think that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're part of like this huge police organization.
It's a classic European crime, right? To put on a fake mustache, they would be able to spot it.
Doesn't he have his hair all like tweezed out too? Because he's supposed to look like the Shut-In.
Oh, I see.
Because it's supposedly he's the Shut-In being like,
oh, I know another crime.
Oh, hey, I think these guys did it or whatever.
Oh, no. He's like, that's, isn't that supposed to be himself with the insurance?
Yeah, no, he's pretending to be the, like, he is the Baron whatever the fuck. Yeah. Like, that's his real name.
Yeah.
But he wears a fake mustache for no reason.
Oh.
And wacky hair for no reason. Yeah.
That is so dumb.
He looks like Dr. Wily a little bit.
He does. It's like Dr. Wily the college years. He's getting laid all over the place. It's like, yeah, you know, someday you watch what I got coming.
I'm gonna chase a small metallic man to the end of the earth.
I know, like, I want, like, a Pirates of Silicon Valley type thing with him and Robotnik.
Yep. Write it up. I'm into it. Sell it to Netflix.
God damn you, Robotnik. You stole my idea for a huge metallic case with a bunch of chicks in it. You, no, not those kind.
You waste your time trying to kill a robot boy. I've been hunting a hedgehog for years!
You don't even know how to make a squirrel a robot, you pussy.
Have you ever tried to capture a three-tailed fox?
No. You tried to make a wood man. What was that about? You just run out of shit?
Robot dog. Really, a robot dog.
Oh, what's his name? Ruff, you're a genius. Yeah, dude, they ran out of Mega Man villain ideas real quick.
Woodman, yeah, he throws leaves at you.
Oh, I don't know. Screw Man, that's a good one. Top Man, sure.
Brick
Those
man.
Are all sexual, by the way.
Oh, yes. You're right, it was Log Man. Oh, Wood is also sexual.
Yeah, yeah.
So is a log. They're both like a penis. No, anyway.
Or you're into shit play.
Yeah.
What? But, oh, yeah, dude.
So, but Vincent Cassell drops a dime on Danny Ocean's plan, and right when they're about to enact it, most of them get arrested, except for Matt Damon, Don Cheadle, and I believe Scott Kahn.
Scott Kahn's fine.
Scott Kahn is a genius because he was like, dude, I'm going to television. I will be on the worst TV show that grandmas love, and I will stay here for 25 years and make $3 billion.
That Hawaii Five-0 check must be so not.
Oh,
like,
my God.
That show was on for so fucking long.
Is it gone?
It's gone now.
I mean, it was like 6 or 7 seasons.
It was forever that thing was on.
I will admit to watching like the first season and a half or
so. It's a totally. I mean, Grandma's is a bit of a
no.
A
I mean,
dick.
It was just like serialized cop stuff. So it was you put it on while you're cooking or whatever.
Hangover TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
We've crossed over.
Oh, man, Hangover TV. We just came up with $1 million idea.
But I just like that Scott Kahn looked at his cards and was like, "Yeah, television." And he was smart.
Well, he's also very smart because he was like, "Yeah, sure. I'll totally be in this movie." He got a, you know, Soderbergh-ian Ocean's 12 size paycheck to do nothing.
For three movies.
Yeah,
three fucking movies.
But at least in the first one, he's got like way more lines than this one. Because the only gimmick he has in that first movie is him and Casey Affleck like snip at each other the whole
fucking
time.
Hate each other.
And they're just like bit like back and forth, which they also do in that 13 again. But this movie, they don't have many scenes together.
Yeah.
So that's not there. So he's literally just sitting around doing nothing.
The one scene you do get with that is when they fuck up missing Vincent Cassell, go in and steal the Fabergé egg. That's like only scene you really get of them doing that.
Oh, right. Because they're like either kvetching with each other and he goes around him or behind them or something.
If you don't talk for a month, I'll give you $1 million. Yeah. Can you do that? Can you do that? Isn't this funny? Don't you think it's funny? Hey, everybody. Audience. Joe back there. Do you think this is funny?
Meanwhile, the, you know, master thief is on the rooftop during this scene.
Right.
Which they're supposed to be seeing.
So it's just the three of them. And they're like, well, and this is when it gets the fucking jokey jokes get really jokey and really jokes.
Yep.
Where it's like, oh, we can do, you know, the three-legged hustle's like, not enough people. We'll do this. How are you going to train a cat that quick?
Yep.
Look at the camera. Yes. Stop for 5 minutes.
See, no, this is also more that fucking, like, Master Thief playbook garbage.
Yes.
It's just like, oh, wait, what about Tess? We'll do it's a looky-loo inside of a badger trap or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
All these fucking fake words.
Dude, I bet you working with Julia Roberts is a lot like stepping into a badger trap, man. You got to be careful.
Yeah, Danny.
Sure she's lovely, but she's particular.
No, apparently, both Catherine Zeta-Jones and Julia Roberts hated each other and would not be on set at the same time.
Is that right?
Yes, yeah. They had to be like separated.
What's the beef?
Who knows?
Fuck.
That'll be on season 10 of Feud.
I would love that.
Set in the Oceanverse. I would love it.
Dude, are we making another season of Feud?
They are, I believe, right?
I thought they were.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know who it was.
It's Stalin and Hitler.
Oh, yeah. They had quite the beef.
Originally, they were okay with each other, but then they, you know, these prima donnas.
What's the thing with the...
It's Charles and Diana.
Who gives a
wait,
fuck?
What?
Who it's, gives a
so they
fuck?
Were, they were fighting a lot, huh?
This well, is
they,
the they got divorced.
They got divorced.
You know what, Eric? Okay. They fought so much, they even got divorced.
That shouldn't be allowed, I guess, because that fucking cursed Church of England.
Oh, it's because somebody needs a crown, a version of the crown.
You know, the timeline will be between the divorce and her death.
Oh, perfect.
So here we go. The main reason we're doing this episode is the total snake eating itself, which is Julia Roberts. Matt Damon calls up Julia Roberts, like, look, right. You've got to help us out. You've got to come from Connecticut to Rome right now, even though this movie takes place on a 2-week timeline. And, like, honestly, the timeline doesn't make a whole
it
lot of sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
So she flies all the way to Rome, and they're like, we'll tell you on the way. When they're in a car, they're like, by the way, you're going to have to be Julia Roberts because you look so much like her. And I mean, like, you think that there might be a cultural revolution on this country where we actually topple the rich. If it didn't happen after Ocean's 12, it's never going to happen. Yeah. Watching this is so infuriating. The yeah. way that she's treated and the way that, like, everyone needs to be like, oh, my God, it's Julia Roberts.
No, it's amazing. Like, all of these people are bending over ass backwards to accommodate this fake person.
And then Bruce Willis shows up as himself. And, like, usually, like, when you do a bit about an actor playing themselves, there's a joke about that person. You know what I mean? It should be like, he's
and it
vain.
It should be one scene, not five.
He's vain. He's sex crazed. He's, you know what I mean? Maybe he eats a lot. Like, but none of that happens. He's just like a guy.
What's the release date? What's the year of release of this
2004.
Again? 2004. The joke that they go for with Bruce fucking Willis is,
here we go.
Hey, I knew the ending to The Sixth Sense before the movie was over. That movie that came out 5 fucking years ago.
Yeah,
that is pretty stupid.
But he's just around like, oh, hey, Julie, how's it going? And like, there's like things where like, oh, you think he's going to like catch on, but then
well,
because
he's like, I thought you were supposed to be in Flippity Bow, and where's your husband, Doobity Dab? And oh, thank God I ran into you in this Rome hotel lobby because my daughter left her SpongeBob blanket in your fucking Florida house and Flippity Blap Doobity Bow, and it's supposed to be like the funniest shit.
It should be. She runs into Lyle Lovett, and he's like, don't you remember? Till death do us part, Julie! Till death do us part!
You could totally fake that. You just get Tom Waits. You give him a Kramer wig.
Need that.
Use like special effects to squeeze him together a little bit.
Yeah, hey, bitch!
Make him...
Also,
you my heart.
Bruce Willis went on to do this same exact thing in that horrendous Barry Levinson movie, What Just Happened?
Awful.
Wasn't that what it was called?
Yes.
With Robert De Niro?
God.
And it's like an inside Hollywood movie, and they're like on the
Barry
set of
Levinson
a Bruce Willis
is
movie.
Garbage, right?
Went trash long time ago.
Yeah, he hasn't made a good movie in ages.
Is there any inside joke Hollywood movie or series of jokes that's ever been worth a fucking damn?
There's been a couple.
Like insider Hollywood movies, you mean?
Like Hollywood taking aim at itself.
The player is kind of the big
one.
Which, speaking of Bruce Willis.
He's good at the end of that.
He's good in that movie. I think that's kind of like the shining spot.
Like, yeah, are you talking about like where the people are actual people?
Yeah, I mean, like, what? Just
Barton, oh, you know
Barton
what?
Fink.
Brian De Palma's The Black Dahlia. That was a laugh riot. Hollywood really got like, slammed in that movie.
You could go back to like Vincent, The Bad and the Beautiful is a really great movie. Vincent Minnelli, and that's all about like a producer that's supposed to be exactly like Howard Hawks.
Yeah, or you know what's a really good one too? Sunset Boulevard is very self-reflective.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so they do exist. It's just not that Barry Levinson movie.
Or this movie.
And I just don't, I don't think we can do them anymore.
I know, that's, like, that's I guess maybe that's my point.
Yeah, they're like pre-70s. It's all right.
I mean, I know I'm alone in this room. I really like Tale of Caesar.
I like, thought it was fine. I just
don't know that. I rewatch Coen Brothers movies quite frequently. I don't know that I would ever return to that one.
But also, I mean, I think the idea is like people reflecting on Hollywood as it is at the time that they're making it is right. probably not so great.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how you would do, like, how would you do that now? Someone's, like, doing a Kevin Feige sketch.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, it just...
It's Chris Evans, and it's man.
Yeah, it's all behind the scenes of the MCU and all that crazy thing.
Robert Downey Jr. is playing himself.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, you want to be on my podcast?
Kathleen Kennedy's reading all your internet comments and weeping.
In
real life, she doesn't give a shit.
No, she could care less.
Yeah, she's laughing from her money tower.
I feel like she buys a computer a week to shit on. Like, she's like, all right, give me that guy's internet comments. I'm going to shit on this computer.
She buys computers, and she recklessly just clicks on things unafraid of malware she'll just get a new computer. It's like, when you leave this website, better get Mac Scrubber. Click here for Mac Scrubber.
Who says America doesn't have royals?
This game, you know what? This game makes you play come in 30 seconds. I am going to play it. I'll download this.
Start the clock.
I guarantee you that game has been played in Buckingham Palace.
I don't know. So, like, she goes up. She is pretending to be pregnant. She's got a pillow on her stomach. They're like, look, because you're Julia Roberts and the world will stop when you show up.
Yeah.
Then you can, whilst everyone's fawning over you, we'll switch the egg, and that's going to save the day.
Yeah.
And Catherine Zeta-Jones is already there, and she's watching it. She knows what's up.
Because she can spot a pelican swap from a mile away, dude.
It's called a pelican brief.
Oh, well done.
They're all just Julia Roberts movie. We're going to pull a Mystic Pizza next.
Speaking of Julia Roberts properties, another sign that we are going straight to the seventh circle of hell. I got a flyer in the mail the other day announcing to the world.
That Julia Roberts was going to be on your block next week?
No, even worse.
Jenny from the block.
They're doing a Broadway musical of...
The Pelican Brief?
Pretty Woman.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, and like it's kind of weird because on the thing it's like brought to you by Gary Marshall and whoever the fuck. And I was like, he's been dead for a really long time. That's got to be creator credits only.
Even from heaven, I'm signing the checks.
Fine, bring it to the Great White Way. See if I care. I'm dead.
So
how the fuck is Carl still down there?
You better keep the Jason Alexander rape scene in. You better keep it in.
Yeah, who's playing Jason Alexander in this musical? It might be Jason Alexander. He's a musical theater actor.
You're a prostitute and I'm going to have sex. Da, 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 da. It's a fun movie.
I'm buying you things and getting you off of the street.
Normal people clothes makes you look human.
Oh, mercy.
So, yeah, I mean, like, so that doesn't work. Catherine Zeta-Jones stops them. She's like, you're not Julia Roberts at all, blah, blah, blah. I just spoke to Julia Roberts on the phone. There is one scene which literally should have ended cinema where Julia Roberts is on the phone as Tess, is on the phone with Julia Roberts as herself.
Yeah.
And they're talking, and I'm like, come the fuck on. I've never been more mad at a movie.
But here's how it'll make even madder, though, because if you listen to what, like, quote-unquote real Julia Roberts is saying on the other end of the phone, it's not matching up with what Tess Ocean is saying to her.
Oh, really?
And it's like, it like kind of does it parts, but other times, like, the timing is off, and it just doesn't, it makes no fucking sense. It's so bad. Also, they throw in something. The gag here is Matt Damon is constantly insulting Bruce Willis.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some line where it's like Matt Damon's character, like, thinks that Bruce Willis has won an Academy Award or something like that. And, like, Bruce Willis is like, oh, yeah, looks like. Or, like, whatever it is. And it's like, yeah, we get it. You're a loser.
Yeah, yeah. I got that from Mercury Rising.
Yeah, what would he have won an Oscar for?
Sixth Sense?
No.
No.
Then, like, Carl...
Die Hard 2, maybe?
Oh, yeah, Carl Reiner shows up.
Yeah, as the
and
doctor.
He's just, like, around, sure.
Well, he sort of, like, saves that moment anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's if Carl Reiner comes in at the end, because I hadn't seen this in so long, I was like, oh, is Carl Reiner like the world's greatest thief and he never told anybody? Like, is he Lamarck? Nice.
That would have been cool because at the beginning of the movie, he's still the only one that's trying to like play games because he's at some like social club pretending to be some guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And Andy Garcia like gets his credit turned off or some shit. Yes. And they do the thing.
All of his credit cards has been turned off. Terry like, Benedict sends his regards.
Which I'm like pretty certain only happens in movies. Like they take the little like receipt tray or like the tray with the bills on and they give it back to him and it's just like a pile of cut up credit card.
Nice. Yeah.
They don't do that IRL, do they?
I bought the bank. Oh, which one? All of them. All your credit cards are canceled.
I would love if the beginning of this movie was like the end of The Godfather and all of the Ocean's boys are just getting murdered one after
another. That'd be great. Yes. That'd be great.
It's what a way to start an Ocean's movie.
You need a new team.
And maybe there's some women on it. That'd be... You don't have to go all women. You could get some women.
Yeah, some.
So Catherine Zeta-Jones comes in and breaks up this very fun bit. and they all go to jail. And as if the fucking Matt Damon baby shit wasn't enough to begin with, Cherry Jones has to walk in to play his mama bear.
Like it's they all get arrested. They're all in a big jail cell, which would never happen in a trillion years.
Out of your mind.
Because like half the movie, literally, it's the rest of the half the cast that's been arrested. And they're just in a jail cell like, well, what do you think, computer hacker? And he's like, hi, I have a joke. Bye.
Man, something we did not. Mm-hmm. And I know
Amanda Knox is in there with them.
I know we're trying to wrap this up, but one thing we did not mention is at the beginning of this movie, when Andy Garcia tracks down this stupid nerd, he's doing bad stand-up comedy in New Orleans. Oh my God, that's pathetic.
That thing goes on for so long.
We're in love with it.
It's he's so in a stupid.
Matador costume.
Yep.
Costumes help for comedy. Yes.
Remember that.
That's a helpful tip.
Much like thieves have a rule book, comedians too, and that's exactly. Number one.
That's right. I'm a SUNY Purchase grad, Scarlett Johansson, and I do stand up on the weekends.
Oh, boy.
So,
I think Bruce Willis would sound a little something like this. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
So, any's ways.
They're all arrested. Cherry Jones, Mama Damon saves
and again, like,
day.
I never know how this stuff works in these movies because she comes up and she's like, I'm the FBI. And everyone's like, well, right this way, the FBI.
It's like, wait, what? Like, she just storms into this place. I need the thing of, like, the real FBI is, like, tied up on the side of the road somewhere behind a bunch of bushes.
And she's like, you turn these men over to me. By the way, Catherine Zeta-Jones, we know that you forged that document, so you will now get in trouble. She's like,
how does Cherry Jones have that information?
Great question.
I think she's actually FBI because in the third one, the father is FBI as well.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Super Dave is FBI.
She also might be God.
By the way, two things about the father.
Oh, big. This is some interesting
tidbits.
So one, Clint Eastwood was supposed to be his dad.
What?
And he turned it down. Okay. But then they shot a scene with Peter Fonda and deleted it. We deleted it.
Dude, the ball's on you to delete Peter Fonda entirely from
the
movie.
I don't know. I think that might have been the right choice. This is not far off from Wild Hogs territory.
Dude, he just pulls up to Rome on a motorcycle.
Let my son go.
No? Okay. I guess I'll be going then.
I don't want to be in any movies wherein I go to Rome. I have to be in America. I need there to be at least 14 derogatory terms in my lines if this is going to work.
I'm feeling the winds, and I think Bush isn't going to get 3 terms. I need to soak this up. I can't leave America now. Wait a minute. I just read this script front to back. Turns out there's a character named Yen. I got a script to brewing. I'm going to spend the weekend behind the typewriter.
Sorry, Steve. Clinty's got to go. I ain't doing a movie with no Chinese.
Yeah. He'll only do it if he can call them slurs throughout the entire thing.
So, yes, they escape because this woman just says she's the FBI and the Italian police are like, there you go.
Yeah, take them off our hands as long as you promise they'll be executed.
You know what would be great when they go to Rome? If they enlisted the help of one Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, that would be cool.
Or one pope.
What? That should be the scam, is stealing the pope's hat.
Yes.
How may I be a service to my best friend, Danny Ocean?
2004, I think that's when we were in the grips of the evil pope there, that crazy Benedict.
Right, that's
the
what Nazi means, pope? That means you're allowed to do all these hijinks against him.
Yes.
And then there could be like a big thing like, every evening at 8:16, the pope puts his little hat down and he takes a bath.
It's the pope's in a bathtub.
His little red shoes walking to the bathroom. The oh no, a flaw in our plan. He's taking a shit.
Yeah, you got Bernie Mac dressed as a cardinal. This movie writes itself. This movie writes itself.
Benedict, that's my name. Yeah, my uncle is the Pope. That's why he's Pope Benedict, and I'm Terry Benedict.
You know what?
Yes, I know that's not how Pope names work. Whatever.
You know what we've got in common? We're both racist.
We both are dressed with way too many buttons.
We both dress like Dracula.
I don't know. So they get away.
Is your name Harker?
They get away. And basically, Brad Pitt goes up to Catherine Zeta-Jones like, look, I know that you've been looking for both your father and this guy, Lamar. Guess what? They're the same guy. And nobody cares because it needs to either be that movie or it needs to not be that movie.
They don't focus on it at all.
It's a bookend. It doesn't matter.
The father is Albert Finney. There's absolutely no reason why he is shot entirely from behind.
Exactly.
Until the very last scene. What the fuck? Like, we've never met this guy.
And it's also just Albert Finney. Like, I mean, like, not to be a jerk, but like, my God, it's Albert Finney.
Like, look, I see that head of hair and that body shape. I'm like, all right, it's either Albert Finney or Michael Gambon. Either way, I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Oh, God, it's so...
She also thinks that... But no, it's kind of a little more devastating, though, because she thinks that her father is dead.
That's right.
And yeah, it's like, surprise.
So Julia Roberts and George Clooney are very insufferable on the Night Fox's couch. And it's like they're like smooching and like having a little champagne together. And like the Night Fox is like, you lost Danny Ocean. Let me tell you. By the way, the best part of this movie is when they all get arrested, you get to see Vincent Cassell's very impressive workout routine.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That's the best part of the movie to me because it was part of a fucking heist.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only person who does a heist in this movie is Vincent Cassell. He's dancing around all these lasers, much like Entrapment, by the way.
Yeah, oh, that's right. A classic film.
Yeah.
And he's doing capoeira, again, much like Only the Strong. Yes.
And similarly, in both movies, great buns.
Oh, man. Oh, yes. Fantastic buns.
Capital buns.
Vincent Cassell is fit as fuck in this movie. Mm-hmm. Good goddamn.
Oh, well, isn't he always?
That dude's some escargot, I'll tell you that much.
A crepe.
Melt some butter on him, man. I'll swallow. Well, I'm like doing an escargot thing. No, yeah, I guess it kind of leered into sexual.
Yeah.
Into
yeah, just a bit, but that's
it's
okay.
Sexual like the in the window.
That's all right, dude. You didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
I too can make puns.
I like it.
So he's like, this is how I stole the Fabergé egg. And he's doing like a dance around laser beams.
And this thing is bullshit, man, because... They definitely specify earlier in the movie that like these lasers have no set pattern.
Yeah.
They change at random constantly. There's no way a human being could react to these things like that. It's so ridiculous.
Oh, man, isn't it mouthwatering to just see it there?
Some training montage doing Dance Dance Revolution, which was time appropriate for this movie.
Yeah, man. But yeah, it's a fucking munch-tastic baguette there, huh?
So he steals this egg and he's like, that's how I stole the egg. Now you have to go to, like, I guess the outskirts of Morocco because Terry Benedict will find and kill you, even though he hasn't done that, even though you were in Connecticut. Like, I mean, like, seriously.
It's almost like nothing matters.
But George Clooney's like, but did you know that this whole movie's been a farce? Because we stole the egg in minute 5 and everything else has been horseshit. So
this is so frustrating.
They cut to Clooney and Brad Pitt talking to Lamarck, Albert Finney, and they're like, hey, he's like, yeah, you should steal that egg.
What you're going to want to do is steal the egg before I dry out.
Don't you know me by my hair?
Good idea. Let's do that. The end.
That's
what we did the whole time.
They do this thing. They're on a train. It's Matt Damon, Scott Conn, and George Clooney, and Don Cheadle. And they do this like hijinks. We're going to fake fight each other because we're wearing a Boston Red Sox hat and a Yankees hat.
Dude, it is a fucking fake fight on a train.
And they swap the eggs. And the egg that you saw, the whole movie, was fake. And the real one was with Albert Finney the whole time.
So why bother?
Why are
any
we exactly? Why are we jerking off like this?
Tell Vincent Cassell you won, and that's that.
Oh, like, why? By the way, is that Matt Damon? Hey, Jason. Do you know I'm your creator?
How you doing with those headaches?
Wait, I didn't know Aaron was here. Your father helped me like that too.
I don't know.
Oh, no, my daddy. Oh,
man. And Albert Finney is Slippy.
He looks like a frog.
Get him, Alan Alda as Falcor.
Yeah! Oh, I like it.
Yeah, I'm just going to make a bunch of sarcastic comments to our team leader. Yeah, great job there, Fox. Way to lead the mission.
And then it's just Clint Eastwood as another part of the team.
It's Peppy,
it's
yeah.
It's just Clint Eastwood.
Your father would be disappointed in you, Fox. All right, this chair is going to represent Andross. Clap, Andross.
All right, so the movie's pretty much over, right?
It's pretty much over, man.
We cut, so Lamarck is shocked. He cuts Terry Benedict a big fat check for $198 million, which, you know, he's not sweating. We cut to Terry Benedict getting the check from Elliot Gould, and he's like, well, I guess the problems are over, even though I said this is going to be a blood feud. It really wasn't at all.
Nope.
You see Vincent Cassell as like a window washer. Does he come up in the third movie, or is he gone?
Yes,
he's
he
back. Yeah,
oh, that's
yeah.
fun.
Including a pretty fun like flight suit or something that he's
yeah, he
got.
Like base jumps off yes, the top of Al Pacino's hotel.
There's base jumping in the third movie. Yeah, he's back. Well, because it's a thing where like everybody is buddies to team up to fuck Al Pacino in the face.
No, because they're fighting against them. Vincent Ooh. Cassell and Terry Benedict end up fighting against him at the end of it.
Oh, I thought they were all trying to fuck Al Pacino.
No, that's what I'm saying. Terry Benedict has literally one scene at like when he actually does something with Bernie Mac, and then it's like a bunch of like flashbacks to him like, yeah, do that, Vincent Cassell.
Oh, I just remembered them all fondly as being best buds in that last movie.
Let's remember them that way.
Well, let's remember the last scene of the movie where everyone is in a back room somewhere, and it's 2004, so you better be playing Texas Hold'em. I don't care what you were doing.
Yep.
Yes.
Stop everything and play Texas Hold'em.
Absolutely right, dude. We were knee-deep in the Texas Hold'em craze.
You know why? Because we had a Texan in the White House.
That's right, dude. He was holding us hostage.
Yeah, he was.
But I think it's a thing where we're back in Vegas, and it's like a private room at a casino.
Gotcha. And the last person to come in is Catherine Zeta-Jones. Like, I was like, yay!
No, they she comes in like, all right, everybody.
Oh, that's right.
And then Brad Pitt comes in behind her like, gotcha.
It's bullshit. We're all like drinking booze and like, you know, it's a big like, we
nice
have a laugh.
Spread. It's a nice spread. Everybody's having some pretty good looking
snacks.
I think
they have like a private bartender. Even.
Oh, I like
that's
that.
Really,
yeah,
that's really nice. High class.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can just imagine the stories they tell.
No.
We just freeze frame on Catherine Zeta-Jones laughing.
I would rather watch them all play poker for 2 hours. Literally. Get those dudes in a room and
get
play
that Molly's game or whatever you were talking about.
Yeah.
How about jigsaws in that room? Like that room is just a trap.
I'm Terry Benedict, and I'm hiring Jigsaw. Cross me for the last time, Ocean.
That'd be great. Like they all wake up like in a green room, and like everyone's like, you know, all over in this crazy house.
Brad Pitt has to like use his shiny shirt to get a key or something.
You all have to stop sucking your own dicks for 12 hours,
and then you'll notice you've been outfitted with chastity belts. You won't be able to get an erection or put your mouth on your own penis.
Mr. Ocean. Brad Pitt kills himself immediately. Oh, man, and that is Ocean's 12. Would anybody recommend it?
No. I mean, like, it is slickly directed. It'll trick you into thinking it's a good movie. If you're like, if you've got it on in another room and you're, like, doing something else, like, oh, that's got to be a good movie. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
If you're watching it from the corner of your eye. But no, it's really bad. It's so... It ruins that first movie, kind of. Like, I love that first movie so much, but it's just so tepid and unnecessary.
This should not exist. We were talking about this beforehand. The third one should be the sequel to the first one.
Yeah.
And it works so much better than this. Is fucking worthless. Like, I don't know how much. Well, he did say Soderbergh said he would only spend as much as he spent on the first one.
Okay.
Because usually you get a huge inflation.
Sure.
Thing.
Right.
So he didn't waste that much money, but still like $100-something million.
He's not retired, right? That was a bunch of bullshit.
No, well, he literally just had a movie come out this year.
Yeah, but he came back.
Logan Lucky, by the way, is a really good movie.
It is a great movie.
I have not seen it, but I
that's
did
a good
see
heist
the,
movie.
The I one saw, after that,
that's
that is
a Hangover movie. Really.
Yep. Unsane.
Unsane is also really good.
Oh, right. That movie. That
not a Hangover movie.
No.
Though.
No,
Eric, which would you recommend?
No, I would not. I would say, I guess, watch the first movie. I feel like they should have just done one and done. Just do Ocean's 11 and move on.
But we can't do that anymore.
Just like Jurassic Park, they should have just done one. Many examples.
Cannot be done.
But I will not waste your time.
It should
here
have been
today.
Ocean's 11 and then Ocean's 8. Honestly, like I don't mind this new idea. I think it could be a lot of fun. We'll see what the movie is. I don't know what it is.
I mean, it looks good. I'm excited for it. This
great
is
cast.
Trash. This movie is, you know, it's like, you know, because I was mentioning this, I think, on Twitter, and a lot of people pointed it out. It is the Adam Sandler syndrome, where it's like, I just want to take my friends on vacation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just fucking Danny Ocean's European Vacation. It's obnoxious.
I think the last scene they shoot is at where Clooney now owns.
I don't know if he owns that place, but the Night Fox lives on Lake Como. That's where Clooney's always hanging out.
Also, that's going to be the setting of We Hate Movies 2.
So that is Ocean's 12, directed by Steven Soderbergh. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com or find us over on the HeadGum Network. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. What are you sitting on there, Steve? You look like you're about to say something.
Well, he's about to tell us about our Patreon page.
Oh, look
we
at
have
that.
A Patreon where we do bonus content. It's
yes,
Patreon.
Please sign into the Patreon. It's me, Scarlett Johansson. It's the only way you can support Scarlett Johansson.
I never got to be an Avenger. It's where we talk about my own podcast,
Scarlett,
The Birch Box, all about Thora Birch's filmography.
Scarlett's, can someone tell us the URL?
Patreon.com/WeHateMovies.
And what is our? There's a $5 level where there's an extra episode every
bonus
month
apps
that. People are loving.
I love podcasting. I love sitting down talking about cheesy movies, making a lot of jokes. This week we're doing, this month we're doing Jurassic World.
Wow, Jurassic
we're breaking
World.
The 10-year rule, which us here at We Hate Movies, which is four fat guys, and yet again, Scarlett Johansson.
And the other episodes include Bright, Man of Steel, Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance,
Transcendence,
Jungle to Jungle,
and there's more coming every month. Plus, you unlock like over 20-something animation damnations.
With a Boss Baby episode?
The Boss Baby episode. And that ain't all, folks. You get access to our old archive. You get to hear our old episodes with questionable material, all ads edited out of those.
Oh, the good old days in Astoria, Queens.
Yeah, that's right.
Back
Scarlett.
When I, Scarlett Johansson, lived in Astoria, Queens.
Yeah, remember the good old days. That's when I was on it. Oh, good old Clint.
Yes, the Clint Eastwood and Scarlett Johansson were ordering a bunch of Chinese food with us. We were greeting out, watching. I guess
Halloween 3.
Yeah.
Doll Man.
And all those Thora Birch movies. She's in the new Infinity War briefly. And we have a Star Trek podcast at the $8 level.
There's a lot of good stuff. A
lot of good
stuff.
And there's commentary tracks. You know what? Just go to the Patreon page, patreon.com/WeHateMovies, and see for yourself, explore, and say to yourself, is this for me? Scarlett Johansson may apply or not.
So, Steve Sadak, what do we have coming down the pike next week?
We're getting filthy with Triple X.
Oh, shit. Oh,
yeah, I've been dying to do a porno movie on this show for years.
Oh, no, it's a Vin Diesel.
He's in porno?
We'll find out next week. Until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Scarlett Johansson.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.